This NBA playoffs player props edition of the Propcast on Scaling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, also brought to you by our NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a chance to win, for a chance to score a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app.
And taking the shot, the ground down, failed. He missed the catch, and he gets in for the touchdown.
The catch is made by Calvin Ridley.
Wilson, as he throws.
Welcome, everyone, to the PropCast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, April the 24th. Here to get into our NBA playoffs player props for the games happening on Wednesday night and on Thursday night in the association. Five games. We're on to games two. We're on to games three for most of the series, and game two's on Wednesday night as well. But joining me here to help me break it all down for this NBA playoffs show, got my guy here with me. It's Chris B. Captain. Chris, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
What's up, you know? Excited for the PropCast, man. Like you said, it's been a while since we've been able to get together and kind of talk out some player props. But we're in the playoffs. We're in the trenches now, hear me off, and it's time to make some money, betting on some of these player props, especially as we see some of these totals start to come down and some of these players start to go under and some of these lines start to adjust. So excited as always, man, to break it down with you. Hopefully we can give out some winners and collect some money for my bookies, for ourselves, and for the people that's listening in as well.
Yeah, I hope so, man. It's been a pretty, exciting start thus far through the NBA playoffs. And I saw a note yesterday that after the Phoenix game, speaking of player props, that all three of their big three, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, all went under their points prop yesterday. So I thought that was, really fascinating to see. It kind of makes sense as well, right? You mentioned the totals are significantly down when it comes to the NBA playoffs, and defenses have been playing at very high levels. So for some of these teams, and some of these star players have not looked as good as we have thought to at least start the season, start this postseason. And they better turn around quickly for some of these teams here. But we'll dive all in all that here. But you guys know how we do it here. We'll give out three player props each. We'll mention some honorable mentions we're looking at as well for the Wednesday night and Thursday night card. And then we'll wrap it up with best bets for those two nights for the NBA playoffs. But Chris, before we do get into the player props here, man, it's been, at least for the Sixers and your Lakers, it's been a two-man show. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and then for the Lakers, it's been Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And I think I've said this a lot of times, especially on the NBA pod, that if you don't have role players stepping up at this time of the year, it's going to be very, very difficult for some of these teams to win those games. I think case in point has been the Sixers and the Knicks. For the Sixers and the Lakers, I mean, they both have an opportunity to not only at least at minimum be even on the series at 1-1, but it's just been, they've so been relying on their superstar players that I think it's either been the detriment for this team. And I'm not just talking about offensively, especially defensively as well, where you really need a, when it's that crunch time, you need to get those stops here. But I mean, what have you kind of seen from these star players? I mean, not just for the Sixers and the Lakers, but also Jalen Brunson has struggled. And I think that's the crazy part right now for the New York Knicks here. But anything that's kind of caught your eye as far as these player performances to start the playoffs?
Yeah, I think we'd be remiss, without talking about these players and the physicality that the refs are allowing. Right? We see Maxey get he almost died and came back to life in the last 2 minutes of that game against the Knicks, man. So the physicality is ramped up a lot. If you see Luka kind of struggle to adjust to it in game one, he did a great job of bouncing back last night. He still had a pretty good game in game one. He just didn't shoot the ball well and was a no-show in the first half. So it took him a half to get adjusted, and by the time that happened, the Clippers were like, yeah, we kind of coast into a win at this point. And of course, he bounces back last night. But like you said, from my perspective, it's the physicality, right? I was a believer in the Suns last night. I actually took them +3 yesterday, thinking that they had a chance to, you know, bounce back in. I thought we see a little bit of regression from the Timberwolves, but that defense is real, you know, and the refs are not just bailing you out every time. So if you're a jump shot shooting team, man, you better hope you're getting some good looks, because if your jersey's getting pulled, you know, if you're getting a couple extra bumps in there and the refs are letting you play. So you see a lot of players, you know, kind of, you know, screaming for foul calls and they're not getting them. We see these totals starting to drop low. I think totals are 15-5 to the under in the games, and road teams are averaging under 100 points. I mean, if I looked at it yesterday, it was 97.7 points per game, our road teams throughout the first 20 games. That's play-in and playoff so far. So I think it's the physicality that's kind of ramped up. So, you know, big, strong, physical guys like LeBron James, you know, Jokic, still getting their numbers. But some of these guards, you know, taking these bumps, the Devin Bookers of the world, the Jalen Brunsons of the world, Anthony Edwards of the world, these guys are, you know, having to finish through a lot more contact, you know, than they did during the regular season. And you would love to see this throughout the regular season as well. I don't want to go off on a rant here, but, you know, it's like watching two totally different games here, you know. We see totals that were 240, 238, 236, 234. They're down to 220, 218 and a half. We got a total today of 202 and a half. Like, this is, you know, basketball that we want to see from, you know, not just a whole bunch of shot making all the time, but teams actually having to play, you know, like they have something on the line, man. So, like I said, not to go up on a tangent, but you love the, you know, defensive intensity and the refs kind of letting these players play and not just walking to these foul calls all the time, man. I'm enjoying it, you know.
I mean, we got a total on Thursday night that is 199 between the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that series has been an absolute rock fight. If you're a fan of offense, your eyes are probably bleeding watching that Magic and that Cavs series thus far through the first two games, where they've only scored, I think it was been like 180 and 182 respectively in the games one and two here. So I think we've already cracked the formula. There's no point of us Disney with pods anymore. Just do bet on the home teams, bet on team total unders for the road teams, and just full game unders, and you're pretty much set for the rest of the playoffs. But now we'll start to see some, obviously, the books being adjusted on the totals, like you mentioned, right? We have a total now at 202.5 tonight between the Heat and Celtics, and then we have 199, like I mentioned, between the Magic and the Cavs. I still don't think that's low enough, honestly, between those two teams, but we'll see in that part of it as we get to the games two and three over the next couple of nights here in the NBA playoffs. But yeah, you're right. I think that the physicality has really at a higher level. I know that's something that they wanted to implement after the All-Star break, did Adam Silver in the front office, and we saw, you know, those lowers or those totals, you know, start to get fly under after the All-Star break, and having adding a little bit more physicality than we're used to seeing over the past several seasons in the NBA. So something definitely to keep an eye on as we progress through the playoffs here and into the rest of the first round, and of course as we progress to the round two, then conference finals, and then eventually the NBA finals. Chris, before we do get into our player props here, let me tell everyone about the NFL draft. Look, it's coming up this week, actually on Thursday night. The Sports Gambling Podcast has you covered all week with NFL draft props, mock drafts, and their NFL draft watch party. Tune in Thursday night on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page and hang with the guys for the best NFL watch party out there. I'll probably be in there. I know my Texans don't have a first round pick because we traded it last year, but maybe there's a team that nobody wants to represent. I'll probably hop on as a substitute. But also make sure you guys download the SGPN app for your free show at winning, or your free shot at winning $100 SGPN gift card with NFL Draft Bingo. So make sure you guys download the app, get your free bingo card, and an opportunity to win $100 SGPN gift card. And of course, the NFL draft watch party happening on the YouTube page for the Sports Gambling Podcast. All right, Chris, let's get into our player props here, man. Why don't you lead us off player prop number one? What are you looking at?
So player prop one, we're gonna stay to the first game here, you know, we're just going order. I typically look for some regression in the playoff, you know, but if I think a player can repeat their performance, I'll go back to him as well. And kind of beating myself up, because I know we talked about this last year when we were doing the playoffs on this very pod, and that's Jason Tatum. His rebounds and assists, you know, is something that's been, you know, like a small cash cow for whatever reason. The number is 14.5. It was -113 when I looked earlier. So not too much juice here. Tatum's coming off his first career playoff triple double. Him, you know, he had a triple double against the Miami Heat in game one. And for whatever reason, he takes his time when he plays against them. Like, it's never rushed. I think Spoelstra does a really good job of, you know, making somebody else beat him, right? We talk about primary ball handlers and, you know, guys that like to score the basketball. Spoelstra does a really good job of taking you out of that. So I think the assists will be there. And I definitely think the rebound will be there as well. So in three games, in 3 to 4 games this season, one of them was a blowout, so I didn't expect him to go over. But in 3 to 4 games this season, he's had at least 13 rebounds and assists versus the Miami Heat. And it was something that was very successful last year, you know, and that's why I was beating myself up, because they went 7 games last year. We got to remember, Miami started off 3-0, then Celtics won 3 in a row, and then Jason Tatum got hurt in game 7. But he went 5 for 7, you know, over this 14.5 rebounds plus assists. I think the potential assists will be there. Like I said, Spoelstra is going to make it so that somebody else had to beat him outside of Tatum. And we know he's an excellent rebounder as well. He has at least 8 rebounds in 10 straight games versus the Miami Heat, dating back to postseason last year, game played this year. So I look for Tatum to continue to have a big game. You know, if, rebounds and assists at 14.5, it feels a tad bit too low for me when I know that he can go out there and get 11, 12 rebounds. We see a rock fight of a game coming with this total being so low. So I expect the rebounds to be there. I think he can contribute with assists as well. So 12-4, you know, 13-4, 13-5 type game for Tatum. Even an 11-6 type game for Tatum, I think, gets him over this number. So I'll take Tatum over his 14.5 rebounds and assists here, and I'll start things off.
Yeah, I couldn't talk you off of that. I mean, triple-double in the first game against Miami, 23 points, 10 rebounds and assists. Did play 41 minutes, and hopefully this game is a little bit more competitive than what we've seen, or at least saw in game one. I think that the Celtics, I mean, just get out on absolute fire within that first couple minutes there. Miami fought back. They're only trailing by 5, which could have been a lot worse at the end of the first quarter. But it's really been led by this team. And when you talk about the potential assists, I mean, this team is now surrounded by 3-point shooting around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right? Porzingis, we know, can knock it down. Jrue Holiday can knock down a couple for you. They have guys coming off the bench, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard. Al Horford can knock down a 3 for you in the corner, you know, one or maybe 2 times a game. So the looks are definitely going to be there. And again, like you mentioned, the potential assists are going to be there. And we talk about this Boston Celtics team, they really don't have that traditional big man, right? And I think that's really opportunities for Jason to really pop up when it comes to grabbing those rebounds. 4 games this season, Jason Tatum averaged 9 rebounds and 7 assists. And you laid out the numbers as well, head-to-head meetings for Jason Tatum against this Miami Heat team. So yeah, I couldn't talk you off of this one for Jason Tatum points and, sorry, rebounds and assists to go over the number of 14.5. I'll stay in the same game here, and it's a little underrated play that I've and found, and that's over on the Miami Heat side, going with their role player here, Nikola Jovic, over 4.5 in this matchup against the Boston Celtics. So number one, we know, obviously, no Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier, looks like, as well. So they're already down a couple bodies there. Seems like this may be a bad matchup for Kevin Love because he only played 13 minutes in the first game against the Boston Celtics. And Nikola Jovic has actually been in the starting lineup, for the Miami Heat. He started the game in game one. And he's been the starter as well in the play-in tournament games for the Miami Heat as well. He's also a player that's, I think, blowout proof, right? Because this game is a 20-point lead with 5 minutes left in that fourth quarter. You're not going to see Bam. You're not going to see Tyler Hero. Not going to see Kevin Love. Duncan Robinson, he's, you know, dealing with that back injury. He came out and shot the ball pretty well. So that's already 4 guys right there. You're already without 2 stars on your team in Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier. So by default, I think Jovic is just going to have to be out there. Hopefully it doesn't come to his point, but I'm looking at his rebounds here at over 4.5. And when you take a look at the back through the regular season, when he played 30-plus minutes for this Miami Heat team, I'm going to say in 90% of those games, he went over this projection of 4.5 rebounds. He's also gone over this projection of 4.5 rebounds in 4 of the last 5 games for the Miami Heat. And I don't trust Bam to do a whole heck of a lot of rebounding as a center, which is kind of crazy to say because Bam is a guy that should be getting those rebounds, but he just hasn't really had that success against the Boston Celtics. But I think asking Jovic here just to get 5 rebounds for me in a matchup and in a game where I know he's going to play the minutes, I expect him to be out there for 25 to 30 minutes, possibly more, for this Miami Heat team. And again, we're expecting a rock fight here. And again, this is a series and a game here tonight that we talked about. The totals are low for a reason. This one's at 203.5. So it's going to be half-court offense. I do expect some misses, rebounding opportunity to be there for sure. So, Chris, first player prop for me, Nikola Jovic, over 4.5 rebounds for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I think the big thing that stands out here, you know, some people may not even know who this guy is, but like you mentioned it already, they're so short-handed that, you know, Jovic's going to have to continue to play big minutes, you know, and I think that, you know, his ability to just be on the floor, you know, increases his opportunities to get those rebounds. Like you said, 6 rebounds in game one, and that was only 26 minutes being played. So, and he's an impressive rookie too. You know, if I think, you know, just looking at his body of work, like a lot of people think that, especially within the Heat organization and the Heat fan base, that, you know, he's a very underrated player. But without the services of Jimmy Butler, I mean, who is also, another forward, he's definitely going to be out there. And if Porzingis is pulling Bam Adebayo away from the rim, who's the other 6'10 guy that's going to be grabbing the rebounds? It's going to be Jovic. So, like this play, you know, like that he cast it in the first game, probably gave him a little bit of confidence. And I definitely think he, you know, plays a big role in this game as well. So I like Jovic in this spot. Nice find by you.
There we go. All right, before we get over to the next player prop, round two for our player props, let me tell everyone about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Hey, Underdog Fantasy is making it a whole heck of a lot of fun to get down on your entries for the NBA playoffs. They're going to have a lot of different things going on during the NBA playoffs, where that's going to be air cash drops, special promotions, and bonus cash airdrops, like I mentioned, and also special giveaways is what I was trying to say. And in honor of the NBA playoffs, like I mentioned, our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, they want to make a lot more interesting. And they're also the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or match and mix across your other favorite sports, whether it's NHL, MLB, golf, or the case might be. You can win up to 100 times your money. It's honestly a lot of fun playing on Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is also available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Underdog, also, like I mentioned, will be playing those running those different promos. So this is the time to get in if you don't already have an account over at Underdog Fantasy. Like I mentioned, Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And get this, they just launched Champions, their player-versus-player format in Florida. So make sure you sign up with promo code NBASGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you guys use that promo code NBASGPN. All right, Chris, take us over to player prop number two, my friend. What do you got for the people?
So I want to let's go to the last game, and I'm looking at Chet in his last game here, you know, Chet Holmgren. I like his points plus rebounds combined. Number's 25.5, and I kind of feel like, I mean, I can understand how some people think, you know, we may not be getting a discount here, but I like Chet. I think he's going to be on the floor, you know, kind of like your Jovic pick with his rebounds. I just took the points plus rebounds. So looking at Chet, he played 32 minutes, and they're going to need him, right? If you watched any of that first half, Valanciunas was, you know, absolutely trying to barbecue chicken this man to death. And I think he'll be needed to, you know, rebound the ball. I think he had 5 blocks in that game as well. So I think he'll be needed, you know, just to be a rim presence. On the offensive side for Chet, he stretches the floor. You know, if I think that's so important, because the Valanciunas is not going to be as comfortable out there trying to guard on the perimeter. And we see Chet get up 6 threes. He knocked down 2. That could have, you know, been a little bit of nerve. I think he shoots a little bit better from the perimeter because Valanciunas won't want to be out there. I also think that, you know, they probably get out and run a little bit more in transition, which could be helpful for him to be able to score. Because we see Chet, you know, the beneficiary of a fast break that, you know, ends up being a drop off that lands in his hands. And in game one, you know, if he had 15 and 11, so he barely cashed, but he did go over the number to go along with 2 assists and 5 blocks, like I mentioned. So that's 3 career games that he's played against the Pelicans, and he's actually going over in all 3 games. So it's a pretty good matchup for him. And I think him being at home, I guess he's like how would you classify Mr. Holmgren? You know, I wouldn't say that he's definitely not a superstar. and he's kind of a role player, but he's kind of like a class A role player, like, you know, one of those guys that you kind of expect to, you know, play well.
It's difficult to, because again, he has that potential to be a star player in this league, and it's tough because this is his first year as well. So I think that he's probably the third best player. So I would still call him a supporting player next to SGA. I think Jalen Williams is that second best player. He's an up and coming star for sure. But I think Chet definitely has that potential, but he needs to, you know, start eating some carbs and getting to the gym, my man, because he's getting bodied right now. But yeah, I would still classify him as a role player and up and coming star right now.
I would as well, you know. And to your point, when I think about SGA, who shot 11 for 24 from the floor, 0 for 3 from the 3-point line, and J Dub, who finished 8 for 18 from the field, and I think he shot 1 for 3 from the 3-point line. I could be wrong, but those guys have the more difficult matchups, you know, in my opinion. Chet's somebody that can stretch the floor and make it a little bit more difficult for you know, a guy like Valanciunas to be able to guard him out there. Whereas, you know, I don't expect – SGA is great, like all-world, you know, MVP-type candidate, all that. But, you know, he gets the difficult matchup. Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, like those guys are going to be in his back pocket all game. So same thing with, you know, they can defend a guy like SGA. They can also slow down a guy like Jalen Williams as well. So to me, you know, Chet has the more favorable matchup, I think, of the three. And I look for him to bring it specifically at home here. Not sure how he does in game three, but I like Chet to go over his points and rebounds here, you know.
Yeah, and I mentioned this as well, is that for this Thunder team, Chris, that, I mean, they're one of the youngest teams in the association. So they probably had jitters to start this playoff game against the Pelicans team, who they have guys that have been there, right? As this team, but for this Thunder team, I mean, for most of these guys, it was their first playoff run. I think outside of Lu Dort, when Chris Paul was there, when they made it to the playoffs, I want to say that for the rest of the guys, it was their first playoff appearance. But now you get those jitters out of the way, and it wasn't a great shooting night overall for both teams. So I think there's an opportunity now with that game one experience, and now you know what it kind of takes to win the ball game here, that I think for Chet, this is an opportunity. And again, he didn't shoot the ball very well. He hit that first three-pointer for the Thunder to start things off. But then after that, I think he just went 1 of 5, if I'm not mistaken. But also the key thing here is going to be the rebounding is going to be there for him, right? Because like you mentioned, he had 11 rebounds in the first game. And I think the key for the Thunder is really going to have to be limiting the second chance opportunities for the New Orleans Pelicans, because the Pelicans were 18. They had a plus 10 edge in offensive rebounding in that first game. So I think there's going to be an emphasis here for making sure that the Pelicans don't get those second chance opportunities. And that has to be with rebounding. And that has to be with their tallest player out there and a guy that can get rebounds in Chet. So I think that's just going to be the gravy on top. And I do expect them to come out here and be a little bit more aggressive on the offensive side and provide that support to SGA here. So I think this is another good buy low opportunity for Chet in this game. So I couldn't talk you off of this one for Chet points and rebounds to go over 25.5. I'm also going to stay in the same game here. We talked about rebounding, and I think we talked about this during the regular season as well, is the player that I'm looking at to get those rebounds without Zion there is going to be Jonas Valanciunas. And I think right now this team doesn't really have an opportunity to not play him, because he's been so dominant on the boards in the play-in tournament games for the New Orleans Pelicans. So right now, Valanciunas' number, I saw it at 11.5 last night at plus money, around plus 105 or even money. Double-check the updated number. So now it's moved to a minus 102 price, but I can definitely shop around. That's currently over on DraftKings. But I'm pretty sure there's some plus money odds out there for over 11.5 rebounds for Jonas Valanciunas. And we just talked about it with Chet that the Thunder don't have that traditional big man. And during the season, this was a theme for us, that we would take opposing big men rebounds against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But you take a look at the three playoff games, I should say, including the play-in tournament for Jonas Valanciunas. 10 rebounds against the Lakers. He had 12 against the Sacramento Kings, 6 offensive rebounds in that game. And then game one against the Oklahoma City Thunder, 29 minutes, he had 20 rebounds. 9 of those 20 rebounds were offensive rebounds for Jonas Valanciunas. And like I mentioned, as a team, the Pelicans had 18 offensive rebounds, and half of those were by Jonas Valanciunas. So I think that's going to continue here, at least rebounding wise. Again, I do expect this to be another rock fight between these two teams. We know what the Pelicans can do defensively. And if they're able to really clamp down on SGA and really try to limit him like they did in game one and create those difficult shots, those rebounding opportunities are going to continue to be there. And again, like I said, there's no real size up front outside of Chet, who doesn't really, you know, get down low in the lower, you know, in the paint and have a post-up game. He's more of a jump shooter and trying to get into the basket. So I think Valanciunas will continue having success on the offensive rebounding front. I'm not sure if it'll be as many as 9 rebounds again offensively for him, but I do think that he can eclipse this number of 11.5 rebounds in this game against the Oklahoma City Thunder here, Chris. So player prop number 2 for me, Jonas Valanciunas over 11.5 rebounds.
You know what's funny, Manav? I talked about this in my morning show. Valanciunas almost had 12 offensive rebounds in game one. Like, yeah. This dude was pulling them down left and right, man. And somebody who had, you know, OKC minus the 7.5, you hate to see it. And unless Chet Holmgren, like you said, Manav, unless he, you know, gained 40 pounds overnight, or, you know, they plan on playing Bismack Biyombo, which I don't see that happening either. I mean, they really just don't have another option. So the only thing that can stop you here, Manav, is injury, which we always pray for, you know, injuries not to happen, or Coach Willie Green. I was surprised, you know, if he wasn't in at the end of the game. Like, yeah. I understand, you know, you got Larry Nance Jr. out there and you kind of want to split the minutes. But if that's something that's working for you without having, you know, the services of Zion Williamson, I feel like you kind of have to go back to him. It was so effective in the first half and, you know, help him keep that game close. So if he plays the minutes, you know, which I do expect him to, hopefully somebody, you know, tells him like, hey, we had a significant advantage with Valanciunas in the game. I think he walks into, you know, 12 rebounds tonight, you know, in another game that has a super low total. Two very, very good defensive teams, offensive and defensive rebounds, you know, he could definitely catch this one pretty easily. So no way I could talk you off, and I'm probably going to add it. I didn't even look, see what the number was, but it seems like a bargain to me.
Yeah, I think that if he has another 15-plus rebounding game here tonight, we're probably going to see a 13.5 starting to pop up for Valanciunas the rest of the way here. So I think we try to take advantage of it, I guess, at a semi-low buy spot still, even at 11.5 rebounds for Valanciunas. All right, guys, before we get into round 3 of our player props, let me tell everyone about the newest sponsor here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That's going to be the Football Context Proxy. Thinking of entering the Circa Survivor and Circa Millions contest, but don't live in Nevada? No problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy, submit the picks for you each week for a chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll get $50 off of the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com using promo code SGP to get $50 off. It's funny because I've actually used Matt and Tony over at Football Contest Proxy. They're absolutely amazing. They've come a long way. I did the Westgate tournament or the contest back in, I think, like 2017. And I think they, at that point, they didn't have a website. So you had to like email your picks in, but they finally got a website. But they've come a really long way. They're so easy to work with. So I'm glad, you know, we have them as a sponsor here. So again, make sure you guys use that promo code SGP if you are going to enter the contest, whether it is at the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor contest for the upcoming football season. All right, Chris, let's get into player prop number 3 here, my friend. What do we got?
Man, so I actually got a couple that I really, really liked. I wanted to pull a trigger on him, you know, but I'm going back to a role player, you know, in that Miami series, like you talked about, it's a bunch of different ways I kind of feel like you can play it. I think Jaime Jaquez is definitely in play at 14.5. But I think I like DeLon Wright a little bit more, you know, understanding like he's coming off a heater, right? 17-point game. Like, you know, you want to be wary of players like this because you expect the regression to come. However, you know, if the guy plays 26 minutes and takes seven to eight shot attempts again, there's no way I can take him to go under 5.5 points. Like, this line is just tad bit too low, knowing that Terry Rozier is not there. Jimmy Butler is not there. And the minutes have been, you know, pretty consistent now. The reason why I like him over a guy like Duncan Robinson, you know, is because he can play both sides of the ball. This was a guy that was on the Washington Wizards at the start of the season. I watched the Wizards play. He's a defensive first oriented player, which is why he fits in with the system and that, you know, Heat culture down there. And I think his defense is going to continue to be needed to slow down guys like Jrue Holiday and Derek White and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He can, you know, pretty much switch on to all four of those guys. And, you know, just kind of going through his box scores here, you know, in his game logs, he's actually cashed this in four straight games. And I think a large part of that is because there is no Terry Rozier. So if you don't have him, you know, who are you playing? Patty Mills? Like, you know, so I just think that the Delon Wright minutes are secured, blowout or not. And if he gets hot, I mean, we cashed this in the first half. So super by low spot. Like I said, understanding he's coming off a heater where he shot, I think, 6 for 7 and 5 for 5 from the three-point line. Not saying that he's going to do that at all again, but at 5.5, him and off, this number just feels a tad bit too low. And if I can get it without drinking too much juice, I see it at -115. Got to pull the trigger there. So give me Delon right over his 5.5 points, him and off, on the road, coming off, expecting some regression, but not less than 6 points regression here.
Yeah, this was what I was actually looking at last night, and I didn't see it listed at that point, but I guess they posted it this morning. But I'm glad you brought this one up, Chris. And exactly what it is, right? Lack of bodies, but it's a guy that plays on both sides of the court, right? Offensively and defensively. And for a guy like Delon Wright, I was also trying to find his steals and blocks right now. They didn't have that listed, but I mean, he's been filling it up from the defensive standpoint as well for this Miami Heat team. And you mentioned that if it's blowout or not, he's still going to be a guy that's going to get the minutes. Because if it is a blowout, like I mentioned with Nikola Jovic, he's going to be out there with him, with Delon Wright. And some of their other bench guys, whether it's Duncan Robinson or whatever the case might be. So again, this just takes him to make 2 3-pointers or a couple of jump shots here. And most of his shots are coming from 3-point land. And he's been very, very efficient at knocking it down at 66.5% over the last 5 games, dating back to the regular season. But if we just want to talk about the play-in tournament games and the first game between the Boston Celtics, like Chris mentioned, 5 of 5 from 3-point land. Don't necessarily need to do for him to do that. Just need 2 of 2 or 2 of 4 would be a job well done. But he hit 2 out of 3 against the Philadelphia 76ers. He was 1 out of 2 from 3-point land against the Chicago Bulls as well. Again, the minutes are there for him as well. So I couldn't talk you off of this one. I'm glad you brought this one up before Delon Wright to go over 5.5 points. And also looking for his steals and blocks. I just don't see it listed right
one
now.
1.5, you know.
What's the VIG on it?
It's not really any. I see it as low as -109 on Caesars right now.
So 5 straight games, he's gone over that 1.5 steals and blocks combined. He's had at least 2 steals, Chris, in 4 of the last 5 games. He had 2 against Boston, 1 block, 1 steal against the Chicago Bulls, 2 steals, 1 block against the Sixers, if you just want to look at it recently. So that might be worth a look here as well, over 1.5 for Delon Wright. So I'll throw that in as an honorable mention there for his defensive stats there as well. All right, for my third player prop here, I don't understand why this number is still at what it is, because he's just been so good. And maybe, you know, we're used to seeing him having a great game and then a bad game, but that's Mr. Anthony Davis. His points prop right now, Chris, at 25.5. But he's been absolutely fantastic for this Lakers team in the first 2 games against the Denver Nuggets. And he's been very, very efficient from the floor. And I think that's just going to continue here in a big game for this Lakers team. And I know that more than likely probably going to see them get swept or it's over in 5 games. But I just can't get away from how well he's been playing. Being back at home, you now have 2 days off in between games, so an extra day of rest as well. To kind of get his legs back under him. And again, we know that him and LeBron play the minutes, whether it's 40 minutes at minimum or whether it's going 45 to maybe possibly 47 or, you know, in that range. Because again, this is a do or die situation right now for the LA Lakers. But very efficient from the floor. Game one, 25 minutes, 12 of 23 from the floor, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 32 points. Game two, even better, 14 of 19 from the floor, 73%, 4 of 4 from free throw land, 32 points. So he's put up 32 points in back-to-back games in games one and game two. And also the rebounds have been there for a guy like Anthony Davis. So I think the offense is still going to go through him. We know the minutes are going to be there for him. The attempts are going to be there for him as well. He's a guy that gets to the free throw line as well. And I know Nikola Jokic is maybe not the greatest defender out there. So I think that's where Anthony Davis can make his living. We've seen him make those you know, mid-range jump shots, whether from the free throw line or, you know, inside the paint, and he's been very efficient. So I think that continues here for Anthony Davis. So, Chris, I'm going to take the over 25.5 for Anthony Davis in game three against the Denver Nuggets, just to continue him being efficient and scoring the basketball for the Lakers, because they're going to need it.
Yeah, they are going to need it, him, you know, and, you know, I'm rooting for you. You know, I'm rooting for the Lakers. I'm rooting for Anthony Davis. I'm rooting for your bet, all of them, you know. I think, you know, it's just unfortunate the Lakers just, you know, ran into their kryptonite in the first round, you know, this year. And but it doesn't take away from, like you said, you know, what he's been able to do. And, you know, we, Anthony Davis catch so much slack throughout the years of, you know, not playing and, you know, being soft. And, you know, there's just this stereotype about Anthony Davis. But this year he showed up, you know, and it's been consistent. Yep. We used to call him Anthony Inconsistent Davis last year when he had a, you know, 25-18 game. And then he had a followed up with a 9-10 game. Right. So this year the numbers have been consistent. Lakers coming back home. Probably playing with a chip on their shoulder, especially the way that game ended. And I think the other thing you got to mention as well, Himinoff, is that Denver's not a great team when it comes to, you know, they don't have a really great matchup for him. Jokic is, we've been talking about this for a while now. Jokic is probably the best, the most elite offensive player that we have in the game with his, you know, his skill set and his size and his IQ. But not on defense, like not stopping, you know, Anthony Davis from shooting that mid-range shot. He's not a guy that wants to pick up a lot of fouls, and you just watch it in his play. You know, if he's much more concerned about if you're able to stop him versus actually stopping you. So it doesn't matter how many points Anthony Davis scores, because will he be able to stop Jokic is the question that's at hand. They can be a team that give up a lot of points in the paint. And we've seen Anthony Davis feast in that department so far, you know, short mid-range shot in the paint against the Denver Nuggets over the course of the whole season here, you know. So no way I could talk you off of looking at, you know, Anthony Davis to go over. Like you said, get a couple more days of rest as well. Back home, I do expect crypto.com to be rocking. Lakers can't go down 0-3. So desperation spot here. Yep. Got to be a big game from Anthony Davis and some of these role players, you know.
Yeah, and in more particular, I'm interested to see what role players do step up. I know D'Lo bounced back nicely in game two, but he needs somebody else, whether it's Rui Hachimura, whether it's Austin Reeves, who needs to show up for this team, but they need somebody. I know they get some reinforcements back, but I'm not sure if that really moves the needle for this Lakers team with Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt. But we'll see if the Lakers can pull it off. I mean, they've been right there, man. It's just that they just haven't been able to hold on to leads in this series thus far against the Denver Nuggets. All right, so that's three player props each here. Chris, any honorable mentions you want to throw out there for the games either tonight or for the Thursday card?
So I was looking at CJ McCollum here tonight, you know, and I actually want to go under on his points prop. Not his points prop, his 3-point prop. It's 3.5. And if you go back and look at his game logs, he shot the ball pretty well. Historically against his team, he shoots it pretty well over the last 5-10 games. No Zion, of course, usage is going to be up a little bit more as well. And that's the reason I didn't pull the trigger, but 2-for-9 last game. And you just look at the Thunder defensively against the 3-point line. They're not giving up a ton of three-pointers. Like, this team is really locked in defensively from the three-point line, not giving up a ton of those shots. And I feel like with CJ McCollum specifically, if he's not getting out on the break, it could be really, really difficult for him to score as well. So, you know, for them to get the pull-up shots in transition. So I look towards CJ. It's not juiced at all. It's like -105. So I might get there and put a little sprinkle on CJ to go under his points prop here, you know, at 3.5, under his 3-point prop.
Yeah, I think for CJ, it's I feel like there's some inconsistencies there with him, but he hasn't made four or more at all in the three games that they play, whether it's been the play-in tournament game or whether it's been that first game. 2-of-9 against the Thunder, 1-of-2 against the Kings, 1-of-9 against the Lakers in that first play-in tournament game. So, yeah, I could definitely see him not getting there in this game. Again, defensively, I think the Thunder are a little bit underrated as well. So I think a lot of his damage is either going to come from the mid-range, finishing around the basket, or possibly from the free throw line. But again, he hasn't been able to shoot a lot of free throws either. So yeah, I couldn't talk you off of CJ on the under 3.5 three-pointers made. I really didn't have much else. I mean, if another one I would throw out there, one that's been really good to me, has been Josh Hart rebounds. 5 minutes at minimum for this New York Knicks team. That number right now is at 12.5 at +120. Again, this is going to be one of those series that we're going to see rock fight. Reboundings are going to be there. 13 rebounds in game one, 15 rebounds in game two. Right now it's at 12.5 at plus money. So again, just taking a look at the minutes, 42 minutes in game one. Chris, he played all 48 minutes in game two for the New York Knicks. So it's just absolutely incredible
only,
to see.
Only Thibodeau. Only Thibodeau.
Only Tibbs. Yeah, we know it. Jalen Brunson, I want to consider as well. I'm not sure if he's dealing with an injury or whatever the case might be, but his points prop is at 28.5. I'm tempted by the under, but it's just the amount of shot volume that he gets that I can't get there with it, because you take a look at the first two games of the series, 8 of 26 and 8 of 29. So I know the attempts are going to be there. And again, if he's just slightly better shooting it efficiently, that he's going to crush this number. So I don't want to, you know, take an under with Jalen Brunson. And another guy that's going to play a lot of minutes for Tibbs and the New York Knicks. So those are at least for the Knicks that I was considering as well. One more I'll throw out there before we get to best bet is Joel Embiid threes. And this is something I mentioned on the NBA pod the other day, that he's compromised somewhere, right? Whether that knee is still bothering him and he's not that same guy that's going to be down that low post, you know, banging bodies against a defender and trying to finish on the basket. Because if you take a look at the first two games against the Knicks, he's actually 2 of 8 from 3 and 2 of 9. Like, I don't remember the last time Joel Embiid gets that many threes up for the Philadelphia 76ers. This number has probably adjusted because it was around 1.5 on his threes at minus 140 for game two. Quickly what it's at for, it's probably there as, but yeah, it's up to minus 155 now for Joel Embiid. So the attempts are never going to be there. It's just about him making it and him being back at home. I think it's definitely a possibility that he can knock down another two here for the Sixers here in game three. So that was another one that I was concerned. But again, that vig has now been adjusted significantly at minus 155.
Let me throw out one more as well.
Go ahead.
Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. I mean, he this is the Lakers' daddy, right? Jokic, both on that crown. And looking at his rebounds and assist line, I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, look at his points versus the Lakers, but he typically plays well, you know, throughout. He has back-to-back 11 assist games throughout the regular season against the Lakers. We saw what he did in the most recent game as well. And I think coming back off the injury, probably starting to feel a little bit better now. For whatever reason, he plays well in L.A. too. Last two games in L.A., you know, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. So his rebounds and assist line is 11.5, and you can get it at plus money right now. Right. If we know anything about the Lakers, they're going to play fast. Jamal Murray's going to have plenty of opportunities, and you expect Jamal Murray to put a lot of pressure on these guards, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, get downhill. The help comes. He's a willing passer. Been talking about it all year. So I do think that, you know, his rebounds and assists. The Lakers also just not the greatest rebounding team. So do expect him to go down there and crash the boys as well. So his rebounds and assists line, you know, especially at plus money, 11.5, I think is absolutely something we should look at as well. Honorable mention.
I mean, he's almost been there, or with just the assist alone in LA over the last two games. So, you know, the rebounds has been on cherry on top. And again, another player that's going to be on the floor, you know, for significant minutes for this Denver Nuggets team as well. So couldn't talk you off of it as well. All right. So those are some of the honorable mentions that we were looking at here. Chris, let's wrap up the show here with our best bets for this games two and game three here on Wednesday night and Thursday night here. So where are you going with your best bet?
Yeah, I'm staying with the top one here, you know. If I'm going back to the top of the show, Tatum. I like his rebounds and assists. It's something, like I said, that's been very consistent. 5 for 7 in the playoffs last year. The number is 14.5 for his rebounds and assists. And like I said, just if you want to take the rebounds alone, like I said, he's had 10 in 8 straight games against the Miami Heat. So expect him to be out there, you know, kind of crashing the glass. I think without Jimmy Butler, who's an excellent rebounder, that opens up more rebound opportunities for Tatum. And Spoelstra's going to make sure that Tatum's not beating him. I think he struggled from the field in game one. I can definitely see that happen, and him being patient and getting his teammates involved. So over 14.5 rebounds and assists here for Jason Tatum. Best bet of the night here, you know, let's cash it.
Love it. Jason Tatum, over 14.5 rebounds and assists for Chris as his best bet. All right, for my best bet, I'm going to go with Valanciunas, man. I think those rebounds are going to just continue being there for him. Do expect him to play the same amount of minutes, if not more. That number's at 12.5 right now at minus 102. again, like I mentioned, 20 rebounds in game one, 15 rebounds in the game against the Sacramento Kings. So I think that he's going to continue dominating on the boards. Now, may not get 9 rebounds again on the offensive side, but I think defensively the rebounds will be there. And who knows, he might just get another 9 offensive rebounds as well. But I think that he does get over this number of 12.5. I wouldn't be surprised if this one cashes by midway through the third quarter, expecting a lot of these games to be those rock fights. And defensive, yep. So rebounding opportunities to be a plenty in this game. And I think Valanciunas dominates inside the paint, especially with the lack of size and the height that the Oklahoma City Thunder do have. So best bet for me, Jonas Valanciunas over 12.5 rebounds against the OKC Thunder on Wednesday night in game 2 in Oklahoma City. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA Propcast. Chris, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
Nah, man. I hope you guys enjoy the game. Bet responsibly as always. And, you know, wherever you listen to the pod, it'd be very, very helpful if you guys leave us a review, especially if you find it helpful. We always say five star, wherever you listen to your podcast on, be super helpful, man. So thanks to everybody who listens to the pod on a regular basis and, you know, checks us out and cashes with us and the community over here, SGPN and the Propcast. So, yeah, best of luck tonight, man. Enjoy the games.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a profitable night for the next 2 nights here for the NBA Propcast. And hopefully we'll be back on Friday for another edition of the Propcast. So stay tuned if you haven't already subscribed to the NBA Gambling Podcast YouTube channel. That's where we usually go live for the Propcast. So go ahead and do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. Like Chris mentioned, leave us a review and a rating if you haven't done so already for the Propcast as well. All right, good luck with your bets here tonight. Let's break these books off and let it ride.